Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world, all specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. Darren's Coffee. Order now at darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and save $2. darrenscoffee.com. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. All right. Next up, it's our friend Jason Leopold. Writing nowadays for Vice. News.vice.com. The Senate report on CIA interrogation is about to reignite debate over the killing of Osama bin Laden. And I just wanted to mention, too, here, this story at the Huffington Post. I want everybody to look at today. Torture report fight erupts in chaos. And this is a meeting between the White House Chief of Staff and the Senate. They're all fighting about just how much of the summary of the torture report we're ever going to be allowed to read. Welcome back to the show, Jason. How are you doing?
Doing well, Scott. Thanks for having me back on.
Very happy to have you back on the show. So, well, let's just start with the biggest obvious question first. How much of this summary are we ever going to be allowed to read, and when?
I do think that we'll eventually get to see the 500-page summary, and I believe that they're in the home stretch right now, so they're is quite a bit of pressure, obviously, on the White House and the CIA. And I think that come December, before the Democrats have to relinquish control or when they go on their break, the report will be out. But it's really important to note that this is only a 500-page summary. The report itself is 6,300 pages. So we're getting less than 10% of the entire report. The executive summary is redacted. It is the issue is revolving around the names. Mm-hmm. I do believe that we'll eventually get to see this, and eventually, meaning before the Republicans take over.
Oh, that's good. I mean, it was looking like people are saying, hey, man, we're going to have one of these outgoing senators just risk his life and get up there and read the damn thing into the record.
Well, here's what you should know. The report itself is already declassified. Dianne Feinstein, the chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, can release it right now. She can release it even though the White House and the CIA have said that the names – or the pseudonyms should remain redacted. So the report itself can be released. They can also go onto the Senate floor and decide to declassify certain material themselves and read it into the record. So it's not as if the report will not, or rather that the report could not come out at this point. No one is blocking the report from coming out. They want, obviously, as much detail as possible to be released. And right now, it revolves around the names. So it's not as if this document cannot, we won't get to see it. They can release it. I believe that the issue regarding the names is something that is a sticking point because it kind of removes some detail about who did what and when. And
right, like they're saying they're going to use pseudonyms, but they don't want to use the same pseudonym consistently for the different CIA officers who did this, that, and the other thing to anybody, which, that's what you're talking about.
Yes, and the reason they don't want to do that is because then we'll be able to figure it out. So, for example, if there is a CIA officer who was in Thailand in 2002 and was involved with the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah, who was held there, and then this CIA officer ended up in Poland, and then in 2003, and then in Guantanamo, say, in 2006, and then this CIA officer was eventually promoted And if the report contains that pseudonym, and we get to see the CIA officers sort of rise in the ranks, it'll be very easy, Scott, to figure out who it is. Mm-hmm. So that's what the CIA and the White House don't want to happen. They don't want people like me, human rights groups, to be able to figure out who these people are and eventually unmask them.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, because what? They're afraid that this will really change the game and there will be demands that these men are prosecuted? I mean, it seems like if the story's told, even without the specific names, the demand for prosecution isn't going to be more or less either way.
I think the only demand for prosecution would come from human rights groups, would come from perhaps some foreign governments.
I guess it would be more powerful if they can really name names, yeah.
I highly doubt it. It's the same excuse that we get, that journalists get when we go to Guantanamo, for example. I cannot photograph a nurse who conducts force feeding at Guantanamo. I can't photograph a guard or use a guard's name. And the reason is because the, you know, officials at Guantanamo will basically say that I would be putting their lives in danger. But when these same guards return home, their hometown newspapers not only photograph them, but print their names. So certainly there seems to be something else behind all of this. I don't think that prosecution is the is the big issue behind this. I think that it's trying to get some more detail about who was involved, and ultimately what that would result in terms of, you know, declassifying the entire program.
Right. Yeah, I see what you mean. And so it really could be a game changer. You can see why they're trying to stifle it as much as they possibly can there. So what about extra murders? Because they've admitted to only two, the CIA, on the CIA's watch, and Durham already did a preliminary investigation to see if he would have an investigation into whether he would have an investigation into maybe prosecuting that, and then he decided, forget it. And yet, there are three more who were apparently murdered by the CIA down at Penny Lane at Guantanamo, as the other Scott Horton has documented in his great journalism, and, surely, I mean, I know the military killed most of the 100-something people that were tortured to death, but surely the CIA killed more than the two they admit to. You think that's in the report? Do you have any word about that?
No, I don't think that's in the report. I think we'll see details about one death that took place at a CIA black site in Afghanistan. But what you need to know is that this report, and this is based on my own investigation and a story that I recently published about the report, is that the report looks at 20 case studies, so 20 cases involving high-value detainees. Now, there were 119. So the larger report that we will not get to see has 99 other CIA prisoners that contain case studies on them that we're not getting to see. What we're getting to, what we'll eventually get to see are the detainees that we've heard about quite a bit over the years. We'll get to hear some details about the efficacy of the program. So it doesn't even go into John Durham's prosecution. It doesn't go into anything about the Geneva Conventions. This is simply goes into details about the CIA's effectiveness statements about the high-value interrogation program.
Right.
And that's it. So much of this, I don't mean to sort of burst the bubble here, but for people who have been following it for quite some time, the executive summary will seem familiar. Yeah. As I documented in my report, it deconstructs George Bush's September 6, 2006 statement in which he revealed details of the program. And it undercuts statements that were made about the effectiveness of it.
Right. All right. Well, I know you got to go, but thanks again for coming on the show, Jason. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Scott.
That's the great Jason Leopold, everybody. He's at Vice.com. Hey, all, Scott here. Ever wanted to help support the show and own silver at the same time? Well, a friend of mine, libertarian activist Arlo Pignatti, has invented the alternative currency with the most promise of them all. QR Silver Commodity Discs. The first ever QR code 1 ounce silver pieces. Just scan the back of one with your phone and get the instant spot price. They're perfect for saving or spending at the market. And anyone who donates $100 or more to the Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org/donate gets one. That's scotthorton.org/donate. And if you'd like to learn and order more, send them a message at commoditydiscs.com or check them out on Facebook at /commoditydiscs. And thanks. Hey, all, Scott here for Liberty.me, the brand new social network and community-based publishing platform for the liberty-minded. Liberty.me combines the best of social media technology all in one place and features nightly classes, guides, events, publishing, and so much more. Sign up now and you get the first 30 days free. And if you click through the link in the right margin at scotthorton.org or use the promo code Scott when you sign up, you'll save $5 per month for life. That's more than a third off the regular price. And hey, once you sign up, add me as a friend on there at scotthorton.liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me.